welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, we've been looking at some very sobering words from the book of Amos, a prophet who was called to prophesy in Israel at a time when there was corruption, there was all kinds of decadence in government, the people of God were lax, the wealthy were prospering, the poor were in a great affliction, and God called just a nobody, a little shepherd, out of tending his flocks and sent him to Bethel to prophesy at the king's court, which did not make him very popular. Nonetheless, he was willing to speak the word of the Lord. And beloved, I believe in these days in which we're living, we're going to be called on to make a stand for Jesus. There are Christians right now around the world that are laying their lives down for a stand for Jesus. We've been very blessed in this nation. We've enjoyed freedom and have not known persecution, but beloved, is becoming increasingly unpopular to be a Christian. And so I'm not going to take time to report what's going on in the news, but beloved, there are some very serious things happening in our land. And so are we willing to stand on the Lord's side? And as Amos was speaking to the people, God was giving him some very sobering words. He loves his people. He does not willingly afflict the sons of men, but he will do what is necessary to turn their hearts back to him so that they would repent and so that they would be saved. He does not do anything that to harm or hurt us, but he wants us to be saved, to receive the salvation that's found in Jesus, because otherwise, if we reject, there's only one place we end up. There's only two places a soul is going, heaven or hell, with God or with that place of the burning lake of fire that was designed for the devil and his henchmen. And so in chapter 4, we're looking at what God continues to say. And there's figures of speech that are used, such as irony, sarcasm, and satire. And we see that the Lord is going to resort to that. What's irony? It's a use of words to express something other than and especially opposite of the literal meaning. Sarcasm is ironic utterance designed to cut or give pain. Satire is irony or sarcasm used to expose and discredit vice or folly. So here, what the Lord says in verse 4 of chapter 4, he says, come to Bethel. Oh, come on, that's fine. Transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression and bring your sacrifices every morning and your tithes every 3 years. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven, and proclaim and publish the free offerings. For this liketh you, O children, ye children of Israel, saith the Lord God. He was using these figures of speech to just show ironic sarcasm on what they were doing. He says, just go ahead, go on, continue what you're doing. But then he says in verse 12 of that same chapter, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, speaking of his judgments, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Those are fearsome words that the Lord just said. It's an awful act when God challenges a nation in final combat. Basically, it's a declaration of war. Negotiations have failed, a rupture has come, and now, after the manner of men, God challenges them to battle. Why was the challenge? Because God, he had tried to subdue them, to woo them, to bring them to him in more merciful ways, but when the last failed, then the challenge came. He used specific things. Let's read verse 6 of that chapter 4. I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. He used starvation and famine. That's what cleanness of teeth means. There was a disruption of normal physical phenomenon, and God was making distinctions. Let me just read that. Verse 7, and also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. So there were a disruption of normal physical phenomenon, such as rain. And it should have aroused wonder and questioning. It should have awakened anxiety and concern. Rain was very important in the Middle East. I mean, look at what we're facing just in our nation. The hurricanes, the tornadoes, the fires, the floods, the deluge of rains. And you might say, Sister Glass, don't you know that's weather engineering? Well, I won't go there. However, whatever the cause, divine or man-made, nonetheless, God is allowing it because it is wreaking havoc in so many areas of our nation. People say, well, nothing's the same. Weatherman really can't predict the weather anymore because it's not what they say it's going to be. Also, what does God use? In verse 9, he says, I have smitten you with blasting and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The palmer worm devoured them, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. There was pestilence. And then in verse 10, I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up into your nostrils, yet you have not returned to me. How sad. He's overthrown some of you. He said in verse 11, I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. They were like Sodom, but they were not fully destroyed. And God says again in that 12th verse, because I will do thus unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. What was the purpose of this chastening? Why are we seeing things, the violence, the crime, the disruption of natural phenomenon, the seasons? Why are we seeing that? Just as God did to ancient Israel, it was to bring us back to God. And yet repeatedly he kept saying, ye have not returned to me. Look at 9/11. Oh, for a brief time, the churches in our nation were filled. But what do we see now? Lukewarmness, people just, I mean, there were a lot of Christians even in this area. Oh, they call themselves Christian, but they don't go to church. Yeah, you know. And so, beloved, the challenge has to be accepted. How? Is it going to be in battle or peace? With God as an enemy or a friend? No one, supremely equipped humanly, could defy the wrath of God. We have no hope as an antagonist, beloved. How can we meet him in peace if we have deliberately rebelled against his laws and insulted his forbearance? There's only one way, beloved, and that's to return to him. The acceptance and trust that we find in the finished work of Jesus Christ, God has an answer, and that is to seek the Lord and his righteousness. We go to the 5th chapter. Hear what the word of the Lord says in verse 4, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, where the golden calf was, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not into Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like a fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Those are very, very strong words. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him. How beautiful. He's saying, seek him that made the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. Verse 14 and 15, he's giving remedies. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken. Hate evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Judah. And then verses 21 through 24, he goes on, he says, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. You see, they had a form of godliness. They denied the power thereof. They were just going through forms and rituals. He says in verse 22, though ye offer me, hear God's heart of anguish and desperation, though ye offer me burnt offerings and meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vowels. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. This is what God is saying to us in this day, here in America, here in the churches of our land. We need to repent, beloved. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord, and we need to understand that God is calling a people to repentance. God is calling a people to seek his face, to turn from their wicked ways. Will we hear the voice of the Lord calling us while there is yet time? Oh, beloved, some of you I know are just, you love the Lord with all of your heart, but have never before. Let us pray for one another. Let us pray for the body of Christ. Let us pray for the church in this nation. There are some wonderful, wonderful churches, but many have grown cold, lukewarm, and apostate. This is an hour of decision, beloved, and I, with all of my heart, pray that you will choose, and God's people will choose the right. Seek good and his judgment. Praise God. Well, I could go on and on. In the moments that remain, I invite you to write, share your prayer requests. You may be struggling with some real challenges and issues in your life or burdens for loved ones. Also, if you'd like to request that little devotional booklet, Devotional Meditations for the Believer, Prophetic Words, that we've collected a few of them over the years, I trust you'll be blessed. Just write, our announcer will give the contact information. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.